Hello everyone and welcome to The Stage of Place, your brand new podcast looking behind the scenes at those in the theatre industry. Over the next 6 weeks, we'll be chatting to those in the industry who make the productions run smoothly from behind the scenes. From the box office team who help you order your tickets and collect on the night, to the front of house ushers who are always there with their welcoming smile. We'll delve further into the system to hear from the stage managers, the ones who really run the show, through to the technical teams, and not forgetting drama teachers, those who at the end of the day inspire new generations longing to be a part of an ever-growing family. So, shall we get on with the first show? As a freelance set builder and prop maker, today's guest has assisted on a plethora of builds across the country. From the UK tour of Footloose to Gecko's Institute and right through to the Crystal Maze, he has worked in some of the most esteemed theatrical houses, such as the Bristol Old Vic and Oxford Playhouse. Last year, he proudly worked on the 2019 Gavin and Stacey Christmas special, and he even has a Marvel movie under his belt for a late 2020 release. Jack Tosney, welcome to The Stagey Place.
Thank you very much. Hello, Elliot. It's great to see you. Well, great.
And hear you. Yeah, exactly. It's been a couple of years since we last spoke, so
it has. Nice to chat with you. Shall we tell people where we met?
Go on, then. Why don't you tell them?
We met, me and Elliot met at the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School. We were both studying professional stage management.
We went for a weekend away, didn't we, Jack?
We did. We went to the city of Loo, which is in South Cornwall, with two friends of ours at the time.
So, Jack, first of all, I want to ask you how you're managing to be creative and productive within these uncertain times during the lockdown.
In terms of my career, you know, it's very much halted. I was with a company called RT Scenic, and obviously all their future work's cancelled, so all my future work's cancelled. So it's very difficult to stay creative and productive. I am currently looking into something to be productive. The Leeds City College, where a good friend of mine now works as head of theatre production there, is a man called Paul Graham. They're currently offering £3,000 grant for career graduated people. He sort of got in touch and he said, you know, is there anything you'd want to make or anything you could think of? In our space, they've got a brand new theatre in their new building in Leeds. Is there anything you'd like to make to display? So that is something that I'm currently pursuing. I'm having a good old think about what I could do and what I could make that people would find impressive. For £3,000 being the main thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking hard. I've spoken to him one-to-one about it, and I'll be putting in an application. Maybe another dinosaur.
Another dinosaur? Did you make a dinosaur before?
I've got one in my garden.
You have not.
I have. I've got a dinosaur in my garden. It's 9 foot long. Lives in my garden. It's called Tyrone.
Oh, we must get a photo of that for the Stagey Place.
Absolutely, absolutely. I will dig one out and I will show you Tyrone. He's very beautiful.
That would be amazing.
Excellent.
So, Jack, let's start from the beginning then. Let's go all the way back to when you were a child. And can you tell us how you got into performing arts? Was this from a young age?
No, it wasn't. I mean, my household is very sports-centric.
Okay.
So I grew up on a diet of golf and rugby. Performing was never a thing. I mean, the thing is, with everyone in this industry, is we all probably start aspiring to be an actor of some description.
Yes.
And then we eventually tail off into a specific career. But I mean, don't get me wrong, in school I loved all the plays. I loved dressing up. You know, there's a fantastic photo of me somewhere dressed as a woman. At the age of sort of 10, I was dressed in drag. I had like pink hair and red lipstick and like a big dress on. And to be honest, I kept doing that a fair bit in primary school. I was always in dresses more than I was in my uniform. I mean, I love being set of attention. I'm totally honest.
I can absolutely vouch for that.
Absolutely. I loved being laughed at and I loved being looked at and admired. And, you know, I loved all of that. And that sort of transpired into high school as well. Same thing, you know. I did GCSE drama at school. You know, I was performing very much through that. I was Daddy Warbucks in Annie.
Oh, you know? Great role.
Great role. I was terrible. I really was.
Oh, right. Really honest.
Yeah. So I was terrible. And there is a video somewhere of that as well.
We'll definitely get that out for a Instagram exclusive sometime soon on the Stage of Place.
But this went on. You know, it kept going as well. I was performing all the way through college, so sort of like 16, 17.
Yeah.
I was very practical in that respect. And then I'd say around 17 was the time where I decided that. Do you know what it all boiled down to?
I
didn't want to be an actor. I couldn't bear the fact that I'd spend a life being rejected. And that's all it was. I'd love to have gone down that road. But the disappointment, I think, I thought, this is not a viable career for me. I wasn't in that top tier that I needed to be in.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, it was pretty impressive. But I just wasn't cut out for it. So that's when I started looking to other options. And I originally steered completely in the wrong direction. I didn't even look at theatre at the age of sort of 17.
Yeah.
I was, you won't know this about me, Elliot, but I applied for policing and criminal investigation at university.
Did you know? I know a lot of people who tried to go down that route, actually. It's not unfamiliar for people in the industry to, you know, see that as a first career, but I don't know what it is.
I've got absolutely no idea.
Yeah.
Not a Scooby-Doo. And I was so persistent on this because I was desperate for a viable career. I was like, this will be secure. It'll make me loads of money. You know, I'll be fine. It'll be great. So I applied for universities. I got 5 offers destined for it. And then I got really, really drunk and withdrew my application. And
that was, right.
That's not my advice to the future theatre makers, obviously. But I knew deep down that it wasn't what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I just pulled the plug on a lot of it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's really interesting. So, was that kind of the moment that you looked back into theatre then?
Yeah, 100%. That night, I was like, I want to go into theatre. And it was just like a, you know, like a light bulb moment. It was like, you know, what was I doing? You know, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to police. Do me wrong. Great career. I probably would have done it and I'd probably quite enjoyed it. But deep down, I knew that it just wasn't, you know, and with encouragement from college tutors and stuff like that, you know, yeah. I was like, they was like, Jack, you don't want to do this. And I was like, no, you're totally right. So the next day, I was so like driven with it. And I just started emailing around and I was emailing all these theatre companies. And I got a response from a Leeds-based theatre company called Red Ladder Theatre Company. They were quite big in the north. And if your viewers haven't checked them out, I'd 100% recommend. And they were very politically thinking. They were very forward. You know, they were very radical. And I got in touch with them and they were very kind and they invited me to, they were doing a public performance of a play called Leeds Lads, which was a community production. And at the time, I wasn't quite sure what theatre direction I wanted to go in. So I was assistant director on that production because I thought maybe I'd want to stay creative. I thought, you know, maybe something along that line. I was assistant director on this, you know, this huge scale, you know, 40 community chorus scale production, you know, with this really reputable theatre company. And Rod Dixon, who's the artistic director there, you know, he was a very kind man anyway. And, you know, I don't think he even realises sort of the confidence that he gave me to pursue a career in theatre.
Yeah.
And I owe a lot to him. I've never told him. I might get him to listen to this. It'd be well chuffed.
So he really did take a punt on you then, not having any kind of directional background.
No, exactly. He completely just went, yeah, you're interested? Sure, let's do it, you know? And we did. And we got on really well. I really enjoyed the rehearsal process. And then we got to Tech Week and I sort of took on a bit of an ASM role, you know, sort of in the wings. And then that finished. This was 2016, maybe. And about 2 months after Leeds Lads finished, I got a call from the producer of Red Ladder, called a man called Chris Lloyd.
Yeah.
And he asked if I wanted a job, basically, in a scenic construction workshop, sweeping floors and making tea. Bearing in mind, I had no other plans at the moment. I was still at Tesco full time. And I thought, yeah, let's do it. You know, what a laugh. So I went to a company called Q Division. I started there, sweeping floors, making tea.
Start from the bottom, as many people do, though.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I really was, you know. And I started there on £6.50 an hour. And I was there a day. And they told me that they wanted to make me into a maker, a builder. They told me that's what they wanted to do with me. And I went, oh, exciting. By the end of the third day, I'd got a pay rise. They taught me everything I needed to know, from screws to drills to machinery. And suddenly and slowly, I started to really get the hang of it. Slowly building up a bit of a collection of tools and hand tools, power tools. And Q Division very kindly, you know, bought me some and stuff like that. And slowly but surely, I was starting to build up this idea that I was, you know, maybe this was a career. Maybe there was something in this. You know, unfortunately, that relationship went a bit sour on both parts. You know, I was very young. I was, you know, we're forgetting, you know, I'm only a young'un, really, in the industry. You know, and don't get me wrong, I think by the end I wasn't giving it my best. They weren't giving their best to me. And that just sort of came to a bit of a close. And then by the time that had finished, I was applying for the Bristol Vic Theatre School.
So let's talk about Bristol Vic then. So we've both done the same course, the professional stage management course. But did that kind of put you off a little bit? Because obviously you seemed always set on doing construction, or did you think about doing a little bit more stage management whilst you were there?
Yeah, I mean, very much so. You know, I was quite rejecting, if you remember rightly, of construction when I started Bristol Old Vic. You know, I don't want anything to do with that. You know, I'd had quite a, you know, a bad experience.
Yeah.
So I sort of chucked myself into Bristol Old Vic, you know, with an idea of going, I want to do stage management. You know, and I've probably carried that on for maybe a term or two. I hit the workshop and that was it. I was back in my element. I was like, no, this is it. This is where I'm comfortable.
And did you then at that point feel like you were back at home and that, you know, you knew the ropes?
I definitely felt, yeah. I think I went into workshop at Bristol Vic with a lot of arrogance. Probably a little bit too much confidence, because, you know, there was still stuff I needed to know. That is very important to highlight, you know. And then that's kind of the attitude I took, you know. I was like, okay, I'm gonna keep my mind open, you know, let's see what it brings.
Yeah, and I must say that when we were at Bristol, the stuff that I was seeing you do, you took very much like a mentor role for a lot of the students as well, and, you know, really guiding them through. Because I remember when we were doing our puppetry, for example, and I remember you being in the workshop, helping people out, doing the boxes.
Oh, yeah, and, yeah, yeah.
And that you'd always be in the workshop with other students, just helping them out. So is that something that you're still looking into doing?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I love sort of the idea. The thing is with Bristol is, you know, I went in, I was maybe one of two people who had had industry experience. You know, a lot of people were fresh from college.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I did go in with a bit of an idea of, you know, helping people out in what I knew. But I think that was reflected in other departments as well. You know, I remember certain people giving leadership in lighting, for instance, you know, because the course was separated into four things: stage management, lighting, sound and scenic, you know, work, puppetry and all that. So, you know, where my strength was, I mentored or tried to. But where other people had strengths, you know, they mentored and I learned lots of stuff from them. So I do feel very much like it was, you know, although I did take a bit of leadership in the workshop, you know, it was very much flipped in other departments. Or maybe I was just really arrogant. I don't know. One or the other.
And when you were at Bristol then, what was the biggest thing that you learned that you thought you knew, but actually you had to take a back step and learn again?
I think I got better at stuff.
Yeah.
I think Bristol taught me to care. I think you, as you know, Meriel Pym.
Yes.
You know, I spoke to, he was a scenic crafts tutor at Bristol Vic. We had, you know, many a chat. And she said to me, you know, she went, I just want you to care. I want you to care about what you're making. Because Q Division was a very different kind of workshop. It was very fast-paced. Stuff needed to be built quick. It needed to go out. That was it. End of story. But to Bristol, I learned to care and learned to make stuff well and better.
Yeah,
I'd say that's the best thing that Bristol did for me, is it made me into a better maker rather than just a maker. But, you know, they did stuff very different. Bristol was quite dated in a way, but it was good. It took you to a really like deep understanding of carpentry. They didn't have these machines that cut wood out for you and stuff like that. You know, it's amazing. But this really took you back to, this is how you make something from scratch. And I'm very appreciative of that.
And so do you keep anything from Bristol Old Vic? Have you got your puppet?
I do have my puppet. No, yeah. That's such a lie. I do not have my puppet.
Oh, no.
That puppet lives in Meriel Pym's office. And last time I knew of it, she dressed it. It has different clothes every couple of weeks.
I love that.
It wears different hats. It's brilliant. I have all my paperwork, all my stage management paperwork.
Yep, I've still got all of mine as well. Talking about the puppetry, so I made a koala because we were all separated into groups, weren't we, Jack? We were all told on a puppet show at the end of term. And so it was me and the FDAs, and we had to create different animals. And so I did a koala, and I only bring this up because I've got the koala head, but I don't actually have the body of the koala. So that's a little bit.
Amazing.
I just have a weird rat like wall ahead.
Amazing. No, what good memories, eh?
Through your career, then, I must ask how you got in touch with Gecko Theatre Company, because me and Tiff, who's on the podcast in a couple of weeks, went to go and watch Institute, and during the performance that we watched, one of the chairs broke on stage, and then I saw only like a day or two after that you were remaking a chair. Was that right?
That is true. And I was in that very same performance, don't you know?
Were you really?
I was really, yeah. I was in the stalls. I got some comps. Gecko's Institute was a set we built at Q Division.
Okay.
I put a tweet saying, going to see Institute, you know, I worked at Q Division when the set was made.
Yeah.
Amit Lav is the artistic director of Gecko.
Okay.
And he DM'd me on Twitter and said, basically, you know, hi, I'm looking to meet someone like you. Would you like to meet for a coffee?
Yeah.
So I went to the Bristol Vic and I had coffee with Amit, who is a absolutely lovely man. Absolutely lovely. 2 days later, I made a call from Amit to fix two things, basically.
Yeah.
If you see an institute, there is they're controlled by straps and like big poles, basically. And one of the straps had broken. So he asked A, if I could fix that, and if B, I could fix a chair that had broken in the performance previously.
Yes.
In about 6 hours. I was due to fly to Cyprus the next day. I was on holiday. So I was a bit like, I was like, oh my God, yeah. So I managed to get the wood in. And I built it in my front room in Bristol.
Built
it in my living room, this chair. And it had to look exactly like the other chairs, in which it did, obviously.
Because you're a genius.
Exactly. So I took it back down to the Bristol Vic. And handed it to Amit, and you know, we shared hugs and love, and that was it.
So I want to talk about two projects that you've worked on. You were working on the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special last year, weren't you?
I was indeed.
And you also worked on Marvel's The Eternals, is that correct?
That is true.
And I did see the other day that you had delivered your Marvel gilet and cap.
I did. I now have an Eternals cast and crew gilet and hat.
So tell us how you managed to get involved on those two projects, because they're pretty big stepping stones for you. And was that for you as an individual? Did you contact them? Or was that through a company?
Well, the BBC got in touch with me. I was working, where was I now? I always forget where this was. Wimbledon Studios, I believe it was. I was doing a Get Out there. The gentleman who I was working with got a call asking about Gavin and Stacey. And I was like, hey, come on now. I was like, you know, they finished that years ago.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, they're bringing it back. I was like, shut up. I was like, they're not. And obviously, I'm a massive fan of the show. And I was like, oh, you're doing it? He was like, nah, I can't. I was like, what do you mean you can't? He was like, Gavin and Stacey, what do you mean you can't? And he couldn't understand the whole hype around it. He was a lot older than me.
Yeah,
and I was like, "You're a fool, mate. You're a fool." I'd jump at the chance to do that. I left my details with this guy for future work to do with his company.
Yeah.
And about 3 days later, I got an email from the BBC saying that a gentleman had recommended me, and would I like to, you know, do my stuff.
So in a way, it's not about what you know; it's about who you know.
Elliot, every single thing I've ever done has been who you know.
Yeah.
If I hadn't have sent that first email, I would not be, nothing would have happened since. Nothing.
Yeah.
Every single thing has been a ricochet from that day.
And you really did push yourself out there, and I think that's what's been your success in a way then.
I was never scared to email. I was never scared to get in touch. Someone said to me, the worst thing someone can say is no.
Exactly,
which is so true. You know, and it's honestly, that's it. That's it in a nutshell. You know, you ask someone, they say no, you move on. That's it.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
I completely agree.
And anyone who's thinking of going into the industry should be very much be open to rejection as much as success, because, you know, I've been turned down from a lot of stuff as much as I have been accepting of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the roll of the dice.
And so for people who have watched the Gavin and Stacey Christmas special, because The Eternals isn't out yet, What are you looking out for that you have created?
Oh, Elliot, you know I can't say that.
Oh, Jack.
I know, it's so hush.
I guess that's the same about the Eternals as well. You can't really go into too much detail about that one.
Not really, no.
No.
Next Level. This was done at Pinewood Film Studios. And it really is sort of Next Level stuff. You know, it is... it took over 5 stages and it had 14 locations. You know, this is a mega, mega, mega film.
Of course.
And I think they're very much... This is a film that they're very much is stepping at the heels of the Avengers.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of money in it. But the stuff I made was grand and ginormous and extra. And I'm very excited. I'm very excited.
And I'm really excited that you've had these opportunities, Jack, because it cannot go to anyone better for being in that industry. You're such a lovely guy.
Oh, mate, that's very kind. You're so right, but I like to... no, I'm not, Elliot. What?
So, what has been your highlight in your career so far, then?
What a big question. Highlight. Do you know what my highlight is, right? And this is the God's honest truth. And it is nowhere near as grand as The Eternals or Gavin and Stacey or any of it. I did last year a show called The Healing. It was new writing. It was religious. It was lovely. And I did a really nice, simple set for it. The best people you could ever imagine. And that is my career highlight. Because there is nothing better than working with good people in this industry. And I'll shout them out. I worked with a brilliant designer called Christiana Mason. I had a lovely assistant called Julie Ford and a phenomenal scenic artist called Claire Spake. And they are honestly 3 of the best people I've worked with, other than your good self. And honestly, that's a career highlight, because when you go into work and you've got, and it was a very tight deadline, that show, very tight. You know, I built the whole thing in, you know, maybe 5 days.
Yeah.
And I fitted up on Easter Sunday and the fit up went, the ground plan were wrong and we had so many issues and it was a really, really stressful experience. But I enjoyed it, do you know what I mean? And I went into work in the morning and I thought, yes, I thought, brilliant. You know, another day. And when you feel like that about work, I think that they're the highlights. Because don't get me wrong, Eternals is great and, you know, I'm very proud of it. Working on the films is nothing like working in theatre. I much prefer working in theatre because that's where the heart is, you know. I the way I describe it to people is on the films, you're a small part of a big thing. But in yes. theory, you're a big thing as part of a small thing.
And I was just about to come on to that, because it's more like a community feel, isn't it, on theatre? Whereas in film, you might not get the recognition because there are so many other people involved. And with theatre, you just, it's so much more of a family feel, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, films are amazing, they're grand. You know, you look at something and, you know, a couple of other people have worked on it as well. You've been taken off of things. You've been put back on something new. You're yeah. finishing other people's jobs off. You know, it feels very botchy. And when you stand back and you think, you know, what did I actually do? You know, what can I say I made myself? And the answer is not a lot. You know, you were very much tagging on to what other people have done. You know, I mean, something I worked on, 3 weeks I spent on it. A designer came in and said they didn't like it and they got knocked down and that was it. And they have the money to do that in film. You know, so that was quite disheartening, really. You know, because it was a really nice thing. It had a lot of detail on it and it just got ripped apart. But in theatre, you know, you really are, you know, you're a big fish in a small pond. You're vital to what's going on. That's the magic. Thinking, this couldn't have happened without me. You know, if I hadn't gone to Eternals, it'd still have happened. You wouldn't even notice I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Whereas if I hadn't turned up for The Healing, for instance, a wonderful little theatre called The Omnibus, that wouldn't have happened. There wouldn't have been a set.
And
that's the difference. That's what separates the magic between work.
So what advice would you give to listeners who want to get into this industry but are unsure of which alley they want to go into?
The biggest thing is try. Just try. If you'd have asked anyone, my family, my friends, would I have been a set builder? You know, even 10 years ago, you know, they'd have laughed. They'd have genuinely laughed. Because, you know, it's not me. I'm not... If you think of a builder, right, you don't think of me. You know, I'm camp, I'm eccentric. You know,
yeah.
I'm not sat there, you know, you know, making smutty jokes and that.
Yeah.
you know, which is stereotypical builders do. try new things, you know, put yourself out there, you know, experience different people's jobs, different people's roles, spend time understanding other people's roles. That's the most important thing. Get to know what everyone else is doing, you know, and learn some things. You know, every day I learn something new. Older people in the industry, you know, they show me tricks and tips and quick ways to do things, better way to do things, how to do things accurately and all that sort of stuff, you know, and I take advice on every day, every single day. And, you know, even from people who, you know, production managers and things like that, you know, all the time, learn, be open to everything, be acceptant that your way maybe isn't the best way sometimes, but also defend yourself, because sometimes your way is the best way, you know, and sometimes you do know best. This industry is really tough, you know, there's no denying it. And theatre struggles, you know, there's budget cuts, people lose jobs. You have to fight for your place in this industry, and you have to work for your place in this industry. You know, and if you're doing it half-heartedly, it'll show. It'll really show. And like we said earlier, network the hell out of everyone. You know, everyone is your friend. I don't know if you remember this, right? At Bristol, we went to see the dress rehearsal of War Horse.
Yes, we did, yeah.
And we were speaking to the production manager there, and he said the best advice he can give is to be kind, because he'd much rather employ someone nice who wasn't as experienced than employ a...
Yeah, and there's the bleep.
Yeah, sorry, I really wanted to get a bleep in. I just wanted to be bleeped. I've normally got a really bad mouth.
You've done really well, Jack. You've done really well. We're nearly at the end.
I wanted to get a bleep in, so I'm proud of myself.
So, Jack, where is your stagey place?
My stagey place, where we were going to meet, is the Leeds Playhouse, formerly known as the West Yorkshire Playhouse. It recently changed name because it had a big renovation. And that, I think that is because it's the hub of Leeds. You know, and Leeds is where I'm from, Leeds is where I grew up, Leeds is where I now am again. You know, and it's the centre of the theatre scene in Leeds. And it, you know, brings a lot of good memories for me. You know, I've seen so many shows there. I've never got into the workshop there, mind you. But fun fact, the ex-owner of Q Division is now the workshop manager at the Leeds Playhouse. So if I'm ever short of work, maybe I'll hit him up. Maybe we'll get back in touch and who knows, eh? It's a magical place. And if you're ever in Leeds, please see a show. Because they put on shows, you know.
Yeah.
And you know as well as I do how rare that is these days.
Yes.
You know, yeah. There's so many receiving houses now.
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, they do receive a lot of, you know, productions, but they produce a lot of productions as well. And, you know, it's a really special place for that. And they have their own workshop, which is a really big thing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of theatres don't have their own workshops anymore because they're not producing, so they don't need to make sets. So for that reason, that is my stagey place. And if you're ever in Leeds, hit it up.
Well, Jack, thank you so much for joining me on the stagey place today. It's been a real honour to have you on.
Honour. I agree wholeheartedly. It's been an honour. It's been a pleasure, mate. It's been a pleasure. I hope people have found it relatively interesting.
No, I'm sure they will. There's so much that I've learned from this conversation.
Oh, mate. Stop it. I'm crying.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Take care. Have a great day.
And there we go. That was episode 1 of The Stage and Place with Jack Tosney. I'd like to thank Jack once again for coming into the studio. If you've enjoyed this episode, you can leave us for a review. Every little bit helps. And be sure to join us next Wednesday when we'll be chatting with special guest Maisie Threadgold. Until then, I hope you have a lovely week and I hope to hear from you soon.